I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. My name is Sonny, and I am here with my co-host, Zapdos, but specifically Galarian Zapdos, the one that looks like a Roadrunner, that one.
And I am also here with my co-host, Mudspray.
Mudspray, what a Pokemon to call. Not even like an OG Pokemon, Mudspray.
Okay, if we're talking older,
not even Mudsdale, Mudspray.
Mudsdale. I meant Mudsdale. I didn't mean Mudspray.
Okay, we take those. Strong.
I meant Mudspray. Yeah. Powerful. Well, I mean, what am I would call you like? What do I call you, like Machoke? You got the brawn. The Pokemon podcast. I still haven't finished Pokemon Scarlet. I'm still on like Gym 7. I gotta finish it. I've been too wrapped up. I've been too wrapped up playing Baldur's Gate 3.
I've been smoking the DLC. I have my Pokédex is already like three quarters complete on the first leg of the DLC.
I cannot.
And I haven't even not even done with the first mission.
You people complete the Pokédex. I cannot fathom. Doing
that. I never once did that in any Pokemon game before this one. Game, it is significantly easier to complete the Pokedex for exactly one reason, which is that you can do Terra raid battles as much as you want. And if you do like 5-star and above Terra raid battles, which you can solo, the 5-star and above Terra raid battles, which again, you can just do as many as you want, you can solo them. Those specifically reward rare candies and XP candies, and those rare candies and EXP candies let you power level very easily. So, and then once you get to the new DLC, if all your Pokemon are already maxed out level 100, which is really easy to do now. Well, not easy, but like it's not difficult. My whole team is level 100, so I walk in and the new DLC are level scaled to me. So the DLCs are already, the Pokemon in the DLC are already like almost level 60. So it's just like one level and boom, they evolve. One level, boom, they evolve. And you can complete the Pokedex fast.
Solid. On that note.
Yeah. So
we have
anyway, thank you to our sponsors. Yeah. So of course, a huge thank you to all of our wonderful, wonderful sponsors. I want to thank Steel Fox and ETB Games for their continued support of the podcast. Also want to take the time to thank, of course, Gem Accessories, 10% off there, as well as Dragon Shield Dragon Shield Accessories Games, whatever you want to call it. Want to thank Grimoire TCG. Want to thank Tier Zero Games. And of course, we also want to get you to check out Chainlink TCG. They sent me over this really cool enemy controller hoodie. It comes in on their website. You can buy we just did a giveaway with them for a playmat and a field center, and also they have some hoodies and t-shirts, things like that. I haven't seen the playmats or field centers as far as their actual, like, how I haven't felt one yet. Skylark felt the Grimoire mat, and he said that was very nice, so if you want to check that out. But, yes. The Chainlink mats and field center specifically, like I said, we did do a giveaway for that on Twitter, and I think there's probably going to be more to come, honestly. The hoodie, I got to be honest, maybe the nicest hoodie I've gotten from anything like merch related ever, which is a big thing to say. This is probably my favorite hoodie I've ever had already. I've only been wearing it an hour. It might be my favorite hoodie. The only one's even close is it's like also very nice. That's not Yu-Gi-Oh related, but this one, I don't even see it, but very long in torso. And so being very long, I'm a tall guy. When I reach up, it doesn't show my whole midsection, which is nice. The arms are actually appropriately length, so I don't have my arms, like, it doesn't come like up halfway up my forearm, because I'm a big dude. I'm like 6'1", 220. But I'm not like, I lift all day, so like I have muscles and stuff. So nobody ever thinks that I'm like 220 to 260, like, because I was like 260 and people told me I was 220. Nobody ever thinks it, but I am, but I'm very stout. So thick is indeed the word that I use mostly. But for somebody with my build, who's tall and long, but not like heavy or big or thick, even really, I don't know. Somebody like stout. The XL, this is the best fitting XL hoodie I've ever had, because most hoodies just aren't geared towards somebody like with my dimensions. So like most hoodies, like the Millennium Threads hoodie I got, I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. But the issue that I had was that the torso was a little bit more rounded out and the arms are kind of short and the torso is kind of short. So it's like an XL, but it's like a different kind of XL. This is like, like I can stretch my arms out all the way and not worry about the sleeves coming up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I'm big shoulder, big arms. So like Skyhawk, this would be an XL that would probably fit you better because it's a lot longer in the torso and in the arms, and you're like what, 6'6"? So for you,
6'5", you know, very close.
So you're like 2 meters.
The Don Juan still has an inch on me.
Right. Like you probably have to buy an XL and you just always have short sleeves, right?
XL or XXL, it's tough because it depends on like what exactly it is. Like I find for hoodies,
right,
2XL. For shirts, like long sleeve, regular XL usually. And then t-shirts, yep, it just completely depends. It's a range for Hawkman. But also, thank you to our wonderful patrons.
Absolutely. So we have discount codes for all of our sponsors down below. Be sure to check those out. So I will say this has been a good year for Yu-Gi-Oh! In my opinion.
I think for the most part.
It might not be the most popular opinion in the world, but I think it's been good.
I think there have been some like very large L's, but I think there have also been some very large W's. So I think perception is maybe a bit wonky as to like the picture overall. I think overall the picture is good. But I think there are some like very large L's is my take on this year in Yu-Gi-Oh!
Overall W, lots of L in between.
Well,
you know, have a W. You have high but low points.
Hold up. I might have lost you.
Did you?
My internet is.
I thought you cut out.
Yeah, I think I'm.
With your internet.
I'm the one cutting out. Yeah, let me try. Okay. I'm gonna hop out, well, and hop back in, and see if.
Oh no! The whole screen's gonna get destroyed.
Okay.
Oh no! Oh no! No, I'm not helping anything.
I won't do that then. Okay, I think we're back.
Well, I think we're good.
Okay.
So we're back. We do have a Master Duel ban list that I want to talk about because it's bonkers. So let's go ahead and do that first, and then we'll come back to the year in set review. But what I was saying, I don't know if you heard me, I think the year overall was a W. But W's, if you look at them, have high points and low points, but more high than low.
That is a good analogy. I like that. That's
okay.
I agree with that. Actually, I think that's a better characterization.
Yeah. So let's talk about this Master Duel ban list. We do have a ton of moves. Master Duel said, yo, TCG, people react about your ban list. Hold my beer. So Master Duel has four newly banned cards. First of which is Chaos Ruler, the Chaotic Magical Dragon, Triff in Shambles. This was a very essential card for a lot of decks,
You mean Trish, right? Hmm? You mean Trish?
Did I say Triff?
Yes.
I thought I said Trish. I meant to say Trish. Probably Triff too, to be honest. Let's be honest here. Chaos Ruler is a very cool card. Nobody can deny that. But it's also a problematic card because I read it. So a worthy ban, in my opinion. White Dragon Wyverburster is weird.
So White Dragon Wyverburster ban, this is what you do if you want to just like kill Dragon Link outright. I don't think it's like completely dead, but this hits so many aspects of the deck, right? Going second is now very difficult. Part of like your play going second was the Black Dragon Wyverburster, doing the Striker Dragon, the Romulus plays, being able to chain block all of your like key interaction points. That's not a thing anymore. Chaos Space, this effectively hits Chaos Space because it makes Seyfert really bad. You can't Chaos Space search your full combo anymore. It also bans Black Dragon effectively. And again, it also basically hits Seyfert.
Yeah.
You also can't do some of like the Baron plays or the Chaos Angel plays as easily. So you lose out on a whole bunch of convenient level stuff. You have to go back to like either really, really heavy on the Bestials, or you have to go back to like Nocto Vision Dragon, play like more like a deeper rocket package for extenders, which is harder to do because Quick Launch is semi-limited in Master Duel. So they said, nope, Dragon Link, we're not doing this. We're going for the jugular. Apologies to...
Congratulations, they did it.
It's gone.
Trish is in shambles.
Yep. The other two hits are a little bit more out of left field for the bans. Well,
yeah, which is definitely like the Master Duel way. Heart of Demise and Super Heavy Samurai Soulbreaker Armor. So maybe this means that we're about to get all the Super Heavy Samurai support if we don't already have it.
Yes. Soulbreaker Armor is an FTK card. This card does 3,000 damage and it's not once per turn. So So they have banned this to say you're getting the super heavy cards, but we're not doing the FTK.
How is that not a thing in the TCG?
So the reason it wasn't a thing in the TCG is because the Gimmick Puppet Nightmare build was better. The FTK...
Wait, Super Heavy Samurai wasn't doing Gimmick Puppet Nightmare stuff.
Yes, they were.
What?
Yep. They were playing the Gimmick...
It didn't have time to.
They were playing the Gimmick Puppet Link. In the 3 weeks that it was playable, yes, they were.
What Gimmick Puppet Link? Are you not talking about Gimmick Puppet Nightmare, the lock guy?
They used the link to set up the lock.
Well, you know what?
This is just a part of Yu-Gi-Oh's history that we have forgotten. It's been a long year, folks.
Well, here's the thing. I built that deck. I had the deck completely built.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing that.
They were. It was at the YCS in multiple lists. It wasn't like the main thing they were doing. The other reason that the FTK wasn't there is that in a best of three...
I barely got to learn the deck. No, I didn't get to learn the deck and it got banned. Oh, I'm sorry, continue.
That's true, actually. God.
Yeah, the mainline version.
It's been such a long year.
Yeah, that's just it. We didn't even get to learn all the different variations of the deck before it got hit.
Yeah. The FTK
crazy.
Also was worse than Build the Board because you could side against the FTK a lot better. It just lost to more stuff. And it required you to play like a brick in the Soul Piercer armors or whatever. Card of Demise ban is funny. It's limited in TCG. I think it's at one or two in the OCG. It might be banned in the OCG. But this is just stun decks. We're not doing this. A lot of this list is actually like taking the stun decks out behind the shed.
Thank goodness. Next, we have the limits. Inspector Border falls under that, as does Tikaboo. Both are at one now, which thank goodness. I would be fine with both those cards being banned because they are much in the same way of what I said in the TCG. They're not intuitive cards. They're stupid. They should just all be banned. But we take limits when we can get them. Kashira Fenrir, this is another hit to the Kashira strategy because I think they already had Unicorn at limited. And Riseheart hit in Max. Okay, so Riseheart's 3. So yeah, Kashira is probably still good.
No. Kashira, in fact, is dead. Because elsewhere on this limited list is Kashira Birth.
Even as like a 7 engine with my cards.
So Birth is limited on this same list.
Oh, jeez. Never mind. All right. Okay, I see it now. Yeah, I didn't notice it before.
One thing to bring up about Fenrir and Master Duel specifically is that this is a huge hit to like every deck in the format.
Yeah, because they're all playing Fenrir.
Kashira Fenrir is one of the best checks to Maxi. Because it punishes people for holding Maxi. And it's also like a low investment disruption that you can have under Maxi. And going second into your opponent's Maxi, it's you can trigger the Fenrir to like banish a card and bait another interruption. So in a best of one format, hitting Fenrir is understandable because the card is insane, but it is a cancer to Maxi, which is also a point. But yeah, Kashira Pure is dead. There's no way you can play it.
Also here we have Pot of Desires and Pot of Duality because I think if it has pot in the name, it just gets limited here.
Yep. Prosp is also at one. Funny enough, this is like the 8th straight hit to Flu.
You know what? I'm so fine with, at this point, limit Pot Agreed to. Limit anything that's Pot of. I don't care. Pot of Benevolence? Put it to 1. Pot of Generosity? Put it to 1.
We're limited. Pot of Riches? Only 1 copy.
Yep.
That would be funny, actually. That would go with, then you could get the pot collection, and you'd have a play set of every pot card that you need.
Actually true.
Yeah.
Also, here's Runic Destruction. This feels like not a big hit. I guess the less spells they have, the better in the eyes of Master Duel, right?
Yeah.
It's like a critical mass thing, kind of like we've always said with like Sky Striker spells and Dragon Rollers.
Yeah, so part of the issue with Runic is that the Runic stun deck just refuses to die. So this list, I think, was, hey guys, we're going to keep hitting the Runic cards if you don't stop playing Runic stun. But the players has not listened, so we have to hit the Runic cards again.
Yeah.
So my apologies to Coder. Runic for Hire just keeps getting butchered, but...
Also here, for that same reason, is Kaiser Coliseum.
Yes, and maybe the funniest hit on this list, which is Synchro Zone. So, do you know what Synchro Zone
is? What is this here for?
So,
I don't know. I've never even read this card.
Synchro Zone is a continuous trap, which you might have guessed. It is. It was
played. I knew it was a trap.
It was played in Runic stun builds during the Duelist Cup. Basically, it has only ever seen play in Yu-Gi-Oh! The last 2 weeks. It's basically a continuous trap that says your opponent can't attack except for with synchro monsters. That's all it does. It's Messenger of Peace. Yeah. So
it's really stupid. This card could stay at 3. It'd be fine.
Well, so actually no. In the Master Duel meta, it actually has some weird implications. There are a lot of decks that just straight up cannot out a Synchro Zone backed up by the Runic spells. So unironically, this hit looks very stupid, but like it was seeing play in almost all of the top 100 Runic stun lists that were playing in the Duelist
Cup. Maybe hit more hits to Runic, like ban Kaiser Coliseum instead of limiting it.
It's one of those, like, we'll take the limits, but they should be banned for sure. And then they also limited
also the Pearly here spell. I was about to say Pearly Delicious Memory to 1 as well as Pretty Memory to 2, which can lead us to the only semi-limit. This is, again, much like Runic, much like Sky Striker, much like Dragon Rollers, or what we used to say about Dragon Rollers. It's a numbers game with these cards. It's a critical mass ish.
Yeah. Notably, this is like, Pearly has been just decimated. Like, They have two white cat, a bunch of their spells are semi-limited or limited. So they're down like four
I think
quick plays.
Pretty much all of them. I think Sleepy Memory is limited.
Yeah. And they don't even have Pearly Noir yet. They don't even have the small black cat extra deck. They have Pearlily, but not the little guy. So Pearly is probably dead as well. I don't know how you play the deck with this many quick plays going.
Super excited about all the Pearly cards I crafted in Master Duel. Good thing I haven't played that game in a month. And the unlimits, of course, Sword Soul Strategist Long Yan, the most powerful unlimit on this list. I don't, this card being a two was stupid. Also, Predaplant Orphis Scorpio from two to three, sure. Go search Instant Fusion now, I guess. Speedroid Terratop from one to three. This has maybe more implication, but we'll see. Yeah. I think MX Saber Invoker is banned. I'm not really too worried about this.
In fact, MX Saber Invoker is legal.
Ooh.
Funny enough, there was a list, I think, at the beginning of this month. They announced a ban list, and then like 3 days later, they were like, oh, also we're unbanning Invoker. it was a big thing. They were like, they added an addendum to their announced list.
Which is crazy.
Zodiac is almost at full power in this format. A Broad Bull is still banned, but you have you've got three Barrage, three Drydent, one Rat, I think. And then now Terratop into Invoker. I don't know if it will be good, but this seems like a testing ground thing. TCG just put Terratop to two. So maybe they're like...
No, they put it to three.
No, TCG put Terratop to two.
Oh, I thought they put it straight to three as well.
Nope. Went to two with Pancratops.
It's probably fine.
And I don't remember what the other card that went to two was.
I thought there was like five semis.
There were only three on the most recent TCG list. I don't remember what the third one was
for. Yeah, I'm open to being wrong.
Either way.
And the last card here worth mentioning is... Oh, there's three of them. The rest of the Dragon Rulers. Holy moly.
This is finally the first format where every Dragon Ruler is unlimited. It's all of them are at three.
And all the babies.
Yep. And it still won't do anything.
This is the first format since September 2013 with all of the Dragon Rulers at three and all of the babies at three. Is Master Duel in January of 2024? It took 10 years and 4 months and a new game to make this happen.
The rulers, after all this time, have finally been power crept. Shoutouts to Storm Dragon's return.
So supposedly we think that's not set in stone yet. I still think you can put a lot of sevens on board and make something happen with the cash chair, but we'll see.
Yeah, Tomahawk is still legal. I wonder if the cash hits came in conjunction with the rulers. Maybe the people were like, we're not doing the free level 7 thing. But maybe. Notably,
Tomahawk is legal.
They kept Birth at 1, which means Speedroid still gets to play. So
do I hear Speedroid, Cashier, Dragon Ruler?
It's possible. You could. Tempest is probably pretty good.
Terratop at 3?
Yeah, Terratop to 3. Anyway.
Unironically, that deck sounds cool as hell. All right, I heard what you were doing.
Yeah,
I saw where you were going with that. Tier list. We should do this.
Oh no, I was going to say quickly the implications of the ban list. Mathmech, I think, is probably just the best deck. Branded is probably good again as well. Other than that, I don't know. Everything got hit aside from math. So we're just kind of sitting. Dragon Link is dead. So there's like this big power vacuum now. So we'll see what fills it. Super heavy, probably.
I will say, probably. Is super heavy? You think so? Well, I guess that once they release. Chat got it right. Tidal, Pitch Dragoons, Search Diva, Normal Diva, make Barone. Three. Normal Diva, Special Nexus, make Barone.
I am interested to see if because Tidal, I think, is the one people were the most scared of. And I agree with that. I am curious to see what people cook with that. Regardless.
And then if you title pitch Dragoons to summon Dragoon Search as D.Va, but does title do something also right there? Doesn't title Foolish One right there?
Title is Foolish Burial. Yep.
So, like, I don't... It's been a decade. I haven't read the Dragon Rulers in a long time. When title does the pitch and then summon, is it on the summon that it does the Foolish?
Let me take a look. I don't think that's how that works. So, it's... If it's in your hand or graveyard, you can manage to special summon it. You can discard this card and one water monster to the graveyard. Send any monster from your deck to the graveyard. So if you pitch itself into water, it's just Foolish for anything.
Okay, so you pitch itself and like Dragoons to then search D.Va. And then D.Va, Nepthibis, make Martial Metal Marcher, then use the two waters that are in the grave to bring title back, and then make a...
Title 10? Gets to Foolish a thing. So notably, you can't use the hand effect and the grave effect of title in the same turn.
I don't know, man. These cards feel overly restrictive.
That's the thing, right?
Good.
It's funny how that works.
Like, I had this debate with a friend of the debate team, Dylan, a friend of mine who likes to debate me on things, who I made a bet with. By the way, I would love to hear everyone's input on this bet. I'll tell it after. But we had a debate recently when the last round of Dragon Ruler unhits came. And I was like, you know, I don't see a world where all the Dragon Rulers can go to three and be okay. I just think that like there's some sort of like pile strategy, like turbo synchro thing, turbo Xyz thing that we're just like missing. And he was like, no, really? He kept saying it like, you know, double Dragosac just is not good anymore. Like that's just not a good thing to do. I was like, yeah, but like Dragosac makes two level three tokens, which makes a Cherubini, which gets an adventure engine online, you know, like could do anything. And he's like, I don't really think they're good. And I pushed back, but I gotta admit, he might be right. We were talking about this today. I was like, I don't know, man. The more I think about it, I think these cards are too restrictive. I think he might be right. I think these cards just might not be good.
Yeah. Dracosac Cherubini was what the OCG was coping with for tier to send to send a tier to the grave. Or to bin King of the Swamp. So
yep.
Post kick close ban. So I guess before we do the products tier list, there's like a little bit of important news. There's one new card we should probably read. This one. So, I'm not going to go over these two in depth because they don't matter too much for us, but Rush Duel got a ban list like the 2 days before Christmas.
Of course it did.
I'm not going to pretend to know anything about their format, but it is very funny. The very first ever card banned in Rush Duel is Barrier Statue of the Infernos.
Ban the Barrier Statues.
Even in a format where you're normal summoning like any number of times you want, turns out the Barrier Statue's too good.
Amazing.
Then the OCG had a ban list, so I'll just read it through real quick.
Notably, the last time we ranked all the sets, it took 2 hours without any other content, so we're going to have to rush through that.
Yeah. Forbidden, Hot Red Dragon, Archfiend King, Calamity.
Good.
TCG, Limited. Redux, cool. Eeb, Limited. TCG also did this. Heavy Storm from 0 to 1, which... is a bit scary.
Let's go bring it back.
So
Konami did give Christmas presents this year.
True. So Emergency went from unlimited to limited. So they did the opposite instead of hitting Airlifter, although I think the OCG hit Airlifter before. Rivalry of Warlords from 2 to 1, so they limited. They got rid of another rivalry copy. Change of Heart to 2. My Friend Pearlie to 2, which is a big hit. There Can Be Only One from 3 to 2. Okay. Big Welcome Labyrinth from 3 to 2. Sure. Unlimited is Gandora X, the Dragon of Demolition. It got a Narada, so they can unlimit it.
Okay.
Tri-Brigade Fractal from 2 to 3. Engage is back to 3 in the OCG. Dragonic Diagram at 3. And then Fluanderies in the Magnificent Map to 3. So that's the OCG list. And then I'll read off the Quick Play spell. And then we can get into the slapping. So, new quick play spell. Lore. Golden Nova is salivating with this one. So this is a new quick play spell called Metaltrinios. Kind of. Quick play, it's hard once per turn. Effect is target one face-up non-token monster your opponent controls. Special summon one monster that has two or more of the same type, attribute, and or attack from your hand, deck, or extra deck, but its effects are negated. And if you do, negate the targeted monster's
effects. I'm going to read it because you're going sicko mode.
Okay, you can do that then.
Metaltrinios, a quick play spell card. You can activate one card with this card's name per turn. One, target one face-up non-token monster your opponent controls. Special summon one monster that's two or more of the same type, attribute, and or attack from your hand, deck, or extra, but its effects are negated. If you do negate the targeted monster's effects, then if those two monsters have the same name, you banish both face down. You can activate the target monster's card's activation. Interesting.
Yep. Has some cool applications as a board breaker.
Or more. Type attribute and or attack.
Yeah, it's a little niche, but in mirror matches it's good.
This reminds me of reminds me a little bit of Artemis Slay.
Yeah, it is kind of a cross between Ultimate Slayer and Duality. It is a weird card for sure. Notably, Fluffle might play this because if you kaiju your opponent and you give them a Radiant, you can use this to summon Chain from deck because it's a Dark Fiend. So there's some, I think there are decks that will find interesting applications with kaijus. There are some generic outs to extra deck monsters that exist. Baron has a couple very funny targets. So there is something here, but it's a little bit niche and it's going to take the right format to be good.
It does potentially give you a way to out SP. That is true.
Yep. There's some unique stuff.
Yeah.
On that note.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this tier list.
Product.
This was an interesting year in Yu-Gi-Oh! There is a 2.5 hour long Josh Schmidt react to a This Year in Yu-Gi-Oh! Video that I recommend. Where he goes over everything.
That video is by The Law Yu-Gi-Oh!
Correct, which he says it excessively and recommends the channel in the video, but I couldn't remember the original channel, so I just said it was on Josh's. But yes, The Law YGO. But Josh Schmidt's insight is good. I like Josh Schmidt's insight, so watch both.
You should. The Law YGO is like criminally underrated, needs way more subscribers.
True.
If you want a history of like the first 3 years of Duel Links, there's incredible videos about those. He was originally a Duel Links creator before... Master Duel got revealed, then everyone was like, oh god, they're gonna abandon this game. But now he's kind of started doing more TCG stuff. It's awesome.
Yep. So let's go ahead and start the tier list with the first product that released in the new year, which was Amazing Defenders. We're hopping right into it on the deep side, on the deep end with this. Personally, for me, I think that this product is, hear me out here, at least A tier, maybe S.
So I would say
probably A.
I would say definitely not S. I refuse to put any of the crappy collector's rare deck build sets in S. And importantly, on release, this set was hot garbage. Pearly was barely playable. Makanko was barely playable. Rescue Ace was completely unplayable. What saved this set was support that...
Understandable.
Yeah. What saved this set was releases in the other sets that made them better that we didn't know about
until that's the strategy. That's always the strategy. That was the same strategy with Tactical Masters. It was the same strategy with the one before it. That's been the strategy with these deck build sets for a long time. We always know that these deck build sets are going to be good. It's happened the last three or four of them.
Yeah, and I find that that's very
bad. Grand Creators.
It's pretty crappy for new players. Because what happens is they come in, they're like, No, because the new players aren't going to buy...
It's exactly the opposite.
They're not going to buy the bad decks, and then when the deck gets good, because their newer players are always going to be behind on the news curve, right? So for experienced players, they're going to be like, okay, if this deck gets support, it's going to be good, so I'm going to buy my copies of it. If you're somebody who's just investing in the game for the first time, you're not going to buy a bad deck. Like, you're going to want something that's that can at least that you can play at locals, right? So when suddenly...
Yes, but these decks are budget.
Sorry, hold on. Let me...
On release, let me look. These were all budget. Every one of them. Yeah. The most expensive one was Makanko, and it had the lowest expectations. And
again, new players are not buying these decks on release. This only benefits people who are already in the game. And importantly, a lot of the variants of the decks that have seen the most success now have gotten much more expensive. Rescue.
You could have gotten the entire Pearly deck with all support for
$50. You could have if you were a market watcher. Not everyone.
You don't need to be a market watcher. You just have to understand the cycle, which you can talk to any person at your locals and do.
I just do not believe that is true at all. I think that is immense cope. I will say, in hindsight, the set is good. Again, because of support that was released later. As a prod, are we rating these on the strength of the meta relevance of the product, or are we rating these on the quality of the product? Because if we're rating this on the quality of the product, it's a C. If we're rating this on meta relevance, it's an A.
I think it has to be... It's a naturally subjective topic, right? There's no correct answer. For me, on meta relevance, I think it's S tier. But when you factor in everything else, which is the terrible product design of these deck builder sets where you only get... What is it? 3 ultras per box, yeah. And you're maybe less. Yeah. And realistically, there's like 9-10 ultras. There's only 60 cards in the set. Everything else is rare. I think the value proposition is where it's an issue.
Yeah. I think I'm willing to compromise and say A, because I think it, like, Rescue Ace is one of the best decks right now, and it will be for the next chunk of time. Makanko.
All three of these decks have won YCSs.
Yeah, Makanko was relevant. Pearly was relevant. RIP is sold. But Makanko still has the blind second build that you can play, which is the one that actually saw success first until Ken and Gen got released. So, yeah, I'd say we can put it in A. I have many, many gripes about this set, and I wish I could put it lower. But I think A is fair.
I would like to say... I'm going to respond to some things in chat real quick. Eldritch was a different deck build set type. And that still was one of the best deck build sets of all time. But that deck build set was built fundamentally differently, with extreme short printings of secret rares and the rest of the set being super. So when you have all supers and secrets, it's a fundamentally different product.
Everybody,
but yes, Eldritch was expensive. But even when you turn,
the Lord was.
Yes, the sets do suck to open if you want to get product specific things out of them. But if you want to get specific things out of them, it's better to buy singles. It always has been. There's only one set that has ever released that may have been better to buy sealed product, and we're going to cover it. But, like, it's always singles, okay? And then if a set takes 6 months and 2 waves of support to become a good set, it's a bad set. The counterpoint is that every side set is like that releases new support. That has been the strategy for years now. This is not a new thing. Yeah. Every deck build set has been, here's the deck build set. You're going to get everything except 1 or 2 cards, which we're going to trickle out in core sets as a way to get you to buy core sets. I'm not saying it's a good or cool thing, but it's a business model. And at the end of the day, again, it's the new card is always dirt cheap. Look at the Labyrinth stuff. The new Butler has been a $3 card until recently. But realistically, on release... Most of the Labyrinth cards were not that crazy. Most of the Runic cards were not that crazy. The Rescue Ace cards, you could get the entire core for like $40-$50. The Pearly, you could get the core for $40-$50. All you have to do is have just enough foresight to say, wait a minute, there's a really good core here. They're probably going to give us 2 or 3 cards over the next couple of sets.
Part of the issue, though, is that you're then asking players to buy a core of every single one of those decks in case it gets good later. Like, you're saying, okay...
Just call your shot. Pick one. Whatever you like the gameplay loop of, call one of them.
You have to buy the Valence core. You have to buy the Valence core.
All Valence core on release was like $10, and it still is. So you win some, you lose some. But the investment here is nothing, on considering what it takes if you buy... You know, a core set out of something crazy, right? Like, if you go into a core set and buy a whole deck core out of a core set, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Whereas if you buy a deck core out of a deck build set and add one or two pieces to it later, you're talking about $100. For a new player that's getting into the game, buying a whole new deck that just came out has never been a cost proposition that's been fair. You go out and buy the most recent structure deck. They're going to buy the Fire King structure deck. Like, to say that it's a new player problem, I don't think is fair.
I think it's incredibly fair. You bring up the Fire King structure deck, and Amazing Defenders is a deck built set. Oh, gee, oh boy. I can't wait to go to my locals and compete with the Fire King structure deck. Oh, the Wanted Engine? What's that? I don't know what that is.
But you can compete with the Fire King structure deck with the addition of a Dogmatica package. For a locals level, that's perfectly reasonable.
I'm going to be real with you. After looking at and testing both of those builds, it is immense cope.
At the locals level. To learn the game on your first deck.
Oh, to learn the game.
As a new player. You're talking about a new player.
It depends on your locals. If your locals is extremely casual, yes. If your locals is like the locals in Edmonton, absolutely not. It depends on where you're at. It's like there are
new players building a deck for regionals. We're not going out buying SP. We're not talking about highly competitive tournament environments. We're talking about someone learning the game. You got a new player. What new player is building Rescue Haste? I've never seen it.
I mean, sure, but again, you're then limiting the choices of decks that new players can play, right? Like, what, we're going to tell every new player they have to play Fluanderies? That sucks.
Fluanderies was a poor set. Here's the thing.
Anyway, we gotta cover the rest of these.
And I'm not saying that in 6 months Centurion, Memento, and Harmonica or Valmonica will be amazing. But here's the thing. Centurion's already really good, even if it's just Calamity's Turbo. It's already topping YCS's. Memento and Valmonica, I don't know. We'll see. Not ever the banger, but my goodness.
Wild Survivors. We can talk about it more when we get to Wild Survivors.
Yeah.
But we got
Did we not have a single release in between January and June?
Because
you said Wild Survivors. Surely we had something between.
Well, yeah, we did.
Maze of Memories?
Sure. Was Maze first or was Photon Hypernova first?
It was Photon for sure. It was Hypernova.
Okay. We'll talk about Hypernova.
Hypernova, we're talking. I'm feeling. All it had was a few support cards for, well, I say a few support cards, the rest of the Kashtira archetype.
Yeah, so it had the rest of Kashtira, had a wave of Galaxy support that didn't really do anything, topped a regional once. A big Welcome Labyrinth was in this set, which mattered, as was Grand Gunal. This set also had Thrust.
One support card, two support cards in Grand Gunal and Big Welcome.
So,
one meta staple in Thrust, and then support for another archetype that came out last year.
It also had the generator stuff. It had Leviathan that's had meta impact lately. Bestial Baldrake is in here. Plunder Patrol Ship Jord is here. Plunder Patrol Labyrinth.
Sleipnir.
Plunder Patrol builds. Sleipnir was not this set. Dynamondo is in this set. One of the ninja fusions is in here. I think it's we can put it like top of B, I think. Oh, Tier Cash as well, Gigantic Champion Sargass. I kinda wanna put it low A, but I think high B works for me if you're feeling lower.
I'll tell you what, we'll put it in B this set literally shaped 6 months of Yu-Gi-Oh! We'll call it an A.
I think we could put it in A pretty safely. But
there's other stuff to put lower.
We could drag it to B.
Trap Trick Structure Deck.
I think
this is an A as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it could be A or solid B. Like, I think probably low A, high B. Like
Common Ash, playable 3-of structure deck.
Yep. Meta relevant for a bit. Also had Evenly Matched, which at the time was a fantastic reprint.
Yeah,
that's literally how my twin brother got his first play set of Evenly, was just buying the starter deck. Did they have Impermanent as well? I don't remember.
No. Oh, Harpy's Featherstorm is in here as a common also. No, Harpy's Feather Duster. Sorry, wrong Harpy's. Thank you, chat. Harpy's Feather Duster as a common is always welcome.
Boar of Tractrix. Yeah, Raigeki, Kumungus, Shade Brigandine, Holotei is an
good important stuff. Card.
Godarla was actually a very important reprint. Sarah reprint was big too. Sarah was expensive for a long time.
What was next?
What was next? Oh my goodness.
So anyway, I'm giving this an A, but chat, tell me what the next set was.
Yeah, I'm good with A.
Was it Maze? Maze was March, I think, huh?
I was looking up the...
Maze was next, yeah.
I'm checking the release.
Okay, no, Maze had Gate Guardian support, which automatically S tier. And even if it wasn't for that, also Guardian Chimera, Baron, a set, XL Stardust Synchro Dragon.
I feel like beyond that, the set is...
We're not doing accessories, Philly. We're just doing card releases.
I don't know. I feel like beyond that, the set was kind of crappy, though. Like, if I'm looking at what's there, like, the collector's rares are kind of cool, I guess, but...
Counterpoint. Gate Guardian support. So,
Terahertz is relevant. Wake Up Your Elemental Hero is relevant for Hero. The Head of Ricka Glamour reprint. I don't know. This set...
Can I add a double S tier for this one?
I think
Gate Guardian support.
I think Soul of the Supreme King has seen play in Dinomorphia. I don't know. I think this set's not very good. I think
if it's not on this list, we're not doing it.
Continue. I want to put it on C. If I'm being honest, I don't think this.
C, U, and S tier for Gate Guardian support.
I don't. I think this set is not great.
Can I add a G tier?
If you want to put a G tier at the bottom, sure.
How do I add a G tier? How do I do that?
In Tier Maker,
add a row below.
Yep, add a row below.
G. I'll make it
call
like
G, and this is Gate
Guardian. We'll make it tier. Like we'll make it gray for Gate Guardian.
It's, okay, it's a Gate Guardian tier.
Oh, I modified this to be D. I accidentally modified this one to be okay. Wait. Okay, and then this one.
Yeah, on my personal G tier list, I'm putting Guardian. It in C. But G for Gate Guardian is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so next is the Legendary Collection 25th Anniversary Box, which I guess we can include the Booster Box reprints as well.
So we're doing the Legendary Collection one?
Yeah,
Legendary
Collection 25th Anniversary.
It's literally pointless?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's very good. Yeah, you can get like the cool promos. The reprints of the boxes, I think, are like fine, but they're not like that good. The only reason I would put it higher is because there are reprints of Terra King Salmon in the IOC boxes. But yeah, I don't think, I think this product kind of sucked. D is exactly right.
Next we have... Yeah, D is our lowest tier. G is actually, I don't know what G is doing here. G should be at the top for Gate Guardian. There we go.
Okay.
So G goes at the top, but so it's in our bottom tier, which is D. And then you've got next was Sayak.
Yep. Next was Cyberstorm Access.
What was in Cyberstorm Access? Okay, so this is Sleipnir.
No.
What the hell? Where did Sleipnir come out at?
Sleipnir was Dune.
Because I pulled
one. Sleipnir is Dune. Sleipnir was Duelist Nexus.
No.
Yeah.
No shot.
Yes. You can look it up. I'm looking it up
okay,
right now.
Sure. Sayak. What does Sayak have? Anything?
Yeah. So Sayak has some stuff. So Sayak has Chaos Angel, Guiding Quim, Firewall Dragon Singularity, which has seen play, Bestial Dispatter, basically the entire like good chunk of the Monadium core. So that's Peaceful Planet Calarium, Vicious Astrolabe,
Chaos Engine,
Monadium Ream Heart. This has Ringo Worm in it, which didn't do great. The Gold Pride support. This has the Super Heavy Samurai engine, which was immediately impactful. Time Tearing Morganite, which has seen play in a lot of stun decks. Albion the Sanctifier Dragon gave Branded more options again. It's got Lulu Wailith for the synchro build. This has Wannabe, which has seen play.
That is saying that this had Mathmech support.
Singularity was the Mathmech.
Albion support, maybe?
No, Singularity was the Mathmech support. A Firewall Dragon Singularity.
Oh, Firewall, yeah.
Yep. This I think this is a pretty easy S. Like
S?
Yeah. Because think about how ubiquitous.
I was thinking C.
No. What? The Super Heavy engine was like meta defining when this set released. The Monadium
for a week.
For 3 weeks. Quem just won a YCS in a
3 weeks. I'm sorry. Clearly, Konami didn't really want this to be anything.
Dispatter is a huge part of the reason that Dragon Link was crazy for a few months, this format. I think this is S. I don't see Sayak has aged incredibly well. I'd compromise for A, but I think the set was really good.
Okay.
We could do A because like admittedly some of the stuff is that. Like
these are impact. All cards that have an enormous all of these cards have enormous long-term potential. Very few of them have actually seen and produced real results.
I would urge you to look at Bestial Dispatter and what Monadium is doing on the regional scene right now.
I understand exactly Bestial Dispatter and Chaos Angel.
And Guiding Quem literally just won a YCS with Josh Schmidt.
I guess. I just... B, maybe. I don't know. Like, three cards to me doesn't make it an S-tier set.
This isn't three cards. I just listed a whole bunch of cards that were impactful. Chaos Angel, that's one. Guiding Quem, that's two. Singularity, sure. That's three. Bestial Dispatter, that's four. We can say that the entire Monadium
Singularity wasn't that much.
We can say that they banned Circular. I don't know what you want.
That doesn't...
The entire Monadium archetype. Gold Pride topped YCSs. Albion the Sanctifier Dragon basically brought Branded back from the dead. Time-Tearing Morganite has been the backbone of the Runic Stun list that have been topping regionals and a couple YCSs. And again, the Super Heavy Samurai engine. That's already like eight packages in this that have seen significant meta play. Not to mention a bunch of rogue stuff like Wannabe. So, and Pearly Sleepy Memory was also in this set.
Here's what I'll say. How about this?
I can do B.
How about this? Photon Hypernova singularly shifted the entire meta for 6+ months on its own.
That would be
this. I think you meant a Rise Heart. I've seen a couple of meta trends.
I think you meant a Rise Heart. I think B. I think we can do B. Okay. If we're saying that. If we both agree that Hypernova was a better set, then I think B is fair.
Yeah, that's what, like we had Hypernova top of B, low bottom of A, right? So like, okay. I think that Hypernova was like definitively a better set.
Okay, we can do B.
And saying I made Amazing Defenders A because it became meta later, and Super Heavy Monadium and Gold Pride, where I've all seen meta play. Just because they've all seen meta play doesn't mean that they've had every deck in the set win a YCS.
Yeah, that's fair. That's reasonable.
I will say Super Heavy did not get a fair shot. That deck was insane.
Fair. Okay, next on the list is Wild Survivors.
I don't think Defenders deserve any more than that. Wild Survivors, we can make a dinosaur tier and put it right up here with G if this you want, like, but other than that,
this set is like low C, high D. The dinosaurs of the Nouvelles again.
I'm glad one of us is being realistic.
Nouvelles required another.
So I'm not
like way to support, and it's still like extremely rogue.
I don't know which one is Wild Survivors. Chat help.
It's the reddish one that's not
the one next to. Battles of Legend, Crystal Revenge? Or Monsters Revenge? The one...
Maybe. I don't know. The one that's not... It's the red set that's not Soul Burning Volcano.
Sure.
The
red box. The only red box left.
The Vanquish Soul deck was pretty good. Like, one Vanquish Soul player topped every YCS. It had it showing at Worlds. The Dinosaur has topped, like, a couple of random...
Soul Burning Volcano is not on this box.
Soul Burning Volcano
is not on here.
Soul Burning Volcano is on here. It's next to Duelist Nexus.
Oh, yeah, I put something in wrong.
No, this set was not very good.
Oh, this is Soul Burning Volcano. I thought this was Amazing Defenders. Hold on. Wait. Oh, this is Amazing Defenders. Amazing Defenders, yes. Okay, hold on.
Amazing Defenders is like, the box is kind of small. It's like, kind of like a gold yellow.
I think we got there.
Yep. Wild Survivors, not very good.
Okay.
Next up, Battles of Legend, Monstrous Revenge. So,
okay. Monstrous Revenge is interesting. Not good, but interesting.
I think it's a D.
I think if Wild Survivors is a C, this is probably pretty close to a C. I don't think it's as bad as the Legendary Collection, right?
I think we might have to put it in. Maybe it might be better to put Wild Survivors in D and then put this in C. Because, like, there are lots of good reasons.
Was Wild Survivors as bad as the Legendary Collection?
Okay, we can keep. Let's keep Legendary Collection in D. We can keep.
What do you mean if I gave Sayak a B? This is a B. This isn't a B.
No, I think this is a C. Because Duality is like cool, I guess. It again topped with the YCS, but other than that, see no play. Assault Synchron tanked. Super Poly reprint is like fine. Welcome Labyrinth reprint is like fine. Azalea is cool, I guess. The Quarter Centuries are like cool. This had like Golden Rule, but I don't know. The rest of this set kind of sucks. I think.
What about the reprints? Aren't the reprints really good? This is a reprint set. We should be judging it based partially on that, at least.
Super Poly, IP Mascarena, Rite of Aramisir, Foxy Tune.
IP Mascarena was a big reprint at the time. It wasn't. Yeah. It's had a lot of reprints, but it was still a $15 card.
Book of Eclipse, Secret Rare is cool. Terraforming, yeah. Dark Hole. Heart Earth Dragon was actually a good reprint. Mm-hmm. That needed a reprint.
Yeah. Zeus.
Ibly. Zeus was in here. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about Zeus.
Ibly was a very good reprint.
Yeah. Synchro Zone was in here.
Aratama. Indeed, it was.
Aratama was in the set. That was a good reprint. The Punk Engine was in here. I think C. It's
yeah, like, Duality. I think C is fine.
Yeah, it's okay. A couple of meta relevant cards. Link, Decoded,
what's
Matter
next?
For Math Mech. So next up is Duelist Nexus.
Green.
So Dune has
super green.
Huh?
No. The next was fire. Soulburns, huh?
Duelist Nexus was July. Duelist Nexus was July. Soulburning Volcano was August.
Okay, well, Duelist Nexus July. Duelist Nexus was crazy, wasn't it?
Duelist Nexus, I think, is...
Mirren, stop saying it sucked to open. They all sucked to open. Sorry, go ahead.
Duelist Nexus, I think, has had, like, a ton of up and downs, right? This set has been, like, oh, it's mid to wow, it's crazy to it's only okay.
What all is in it?
So, important stuff that's in here. The Unchained cards are in here, which was, like... the best deck for a format and have proven to be very good. Yeah, multiple. And
might
then,
still be one of the best.
Yeah. Well, post Shravara Limit, we'll see. But still definitely in contention. This also had all of the Infernoble stuff, which was a deck. And this stuff was good enough to finally get a soul banned. I had Revolution Synchron, which has proven to do nothing, but again, is a card that has incredible potential. This has cool like card. The whole Chimera deck. Which
topped YCS's and
it was really for a chunk of
regionals,
time.
Countless regionals.
Yep. E-Pearly Noir, which put Noir at like a huge advantage to stuff. Vsauce Armatara, which was huge for Manadium. The Crimson Dragon, which has proven to be good in a lot of different decks. Sleipnir, which has now seen lots of play. It has the Tistinas.
I will say, if I feel like this set released at least one dominant meta warping strategy for 6 months, as well as a slew of important cards.
Yeah, I think probably.
Eight. I'm fine if it's just the same ranking as Photon Hypernova to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. This didn't have like
a mid A.
This didn't have like, oh, it had large too. So yeah, I think A is fair.
Yeah. Next is Soul Burning Volcano, which at best it's a C.
Yeah, so Soul Burning Volcano I think has aged like a little bit okay, but like it's really bad. I think Soul Burning Volcano should go in D. Because like
I just realized we have two G's. There we go, D.
Cards that are in the the Ghost Dress Sunlight Wolf, cool. Raging Phoenix, okay. The Salad stuff is like fine. Battle and Boxer King Dempsey, very underrated. People have been messing with the Volcanic deck lately. Herman Hansen took it to the last YCS. But like overall, the set is terrible to open and kind of sucks.
All right.
So I think D.
Set should be even grateful to be on the list. Oh my god.
This is a set notably that could age really well. Like they could just release a support card overnight. But I think it's the Legendary Duelist sets just need to die. They're terrible. The reprints, they're
really This set was so thick on reprinting all of these decks that there were not even any good reprints in this. Like normally, like even in what was the last one? The water one, you could point to like Forbidden Droplet. You don't even have that. Nothing.
Yep. Okay.
So
next up is actually the Megatins.
Did we have five products after the Megatins?
Megatins, the structure deck, Agov, and then the Rarity Collection.
And the Crimson Dragon. And then Crimson King.
Crimson King, yeah. And then the Fire King structure deck, and then Valiant Smashers.
Okay. I'm putting, personally, Megatins are a B.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of people don't like
lots of good reprints.
A value proposition.
Yeah, lots of good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're crap.
I was going to say, my biggest issue is that there's a lot of stuff missing.
Yes. A lot of stuff missing, crappy to open, but a lot of really good reprints and a lot of deck cores available very cheap.
Oh, yeah. I'll agree with that. Fenrir reprint was cool.
Yeah.
What was after Megatins?
The Crimson King. So that's the Jack Atlas structure deck. I'd say it's like
C.
I think C didn't have a lot of like great generic reprints. It matters. The Resonator Engine is seeing play, and it will see play later with the Horus stuff. But it's not amazing. I think C.
Yeah. Next is
Agov.
Age of Overlord.
Yep. Age of Overlord.
So that has SP, D Bellstar engine, and what else?
The Horus engine.
Specifically.
It has Typhon. Horus engine. Yeah. Typhon. It's got the Snake Eye deck. That's the beginnings of it. It has Arius, which matters a lot. It has the full full armored Xyz engine. It's got Zhao Long, which mattered for Vanquish Soul. I have a ton of misgivings about the cost of this set and the stuff that's within it. We probably have to put it low S. Like the meta impact of this is incredible.
I think
lots of good cards. I think high A, low S. Like there's no universe where this set is not as good as
the last greater S. Also, just for posterity's sake, I think two of the last three decks on this list are S tier, or two of the last three products on this list after this.
Okay, do we want to just put it in A then? Do we want to say it was a pretty good core set?
How about this? We'll put it at the top of A. We'll see how we feel about these last three products. It could move to S. I could be convinced.
That works for me.
Echo also could be recency bias, but I could be convinced.
Yeah. Next up is Rarity Collection. We don't even need to talk about this.
it's a straight S. This is the easiest S tier product that's ever been made.
Probably
ever.
Probably the best product.
Ever. Really.
Like.
This is literally the best product since the 2012 tins that had like Tour Guide, Maxi, Rescue Rabbit, all as guaranteed, like Wind Up Rabbit, everything as like guaranteed promos.
Yep.
Wind Up Zen Mains. Like, this is the best product since the Hanzo tin. It's been more than a decade. This is the best product maybe has ever been released, and I don't think it's close. This is a legitimately like changes the way we conceive product.
Yep. I agree.
In the TCG. This just changes how we view product.
Yep. Okay.
Because this is... Next, we have Valiant Smashers.
D.
No, 2019 ones were not almost as good as Rarity. Nothing was. Valiant Smashers. Centurion is already good, even if it's not a fun thing to play against.
D. It's D.
You said D?
D. The reprints are really bad as soon as they ban Calamity.
Okay, keep in mind, this is D, the Legendary Collection and Soulburn Volcano.
Yep, I think this is D. Like, the only cards worth...
You don't even think this is as good as Battle of Legend.
No. The only cards worth picking up in these, like, at the moment, are the Centurion cards. The reprints are all terrible. Aside from, like, Eschatos and Christia, Quarter Century is, like, cool, I guess. I think it's D. I think it's either the lowest of C or, like, the highest of D. It's pretty bad. It's just, so far,
don't think that I can put something that, so like, if... Go ahead.
This is the worst of the deck build sets of the three.
Is it?
Yeah. Think about how long
the other two were. Right.
Amazing Defenders and Wild Survivors. This set is worse than Wild Survivors for sure.
The other ones were
later. That may not prove to be true. Currently,
wait, hold on.
I think it's D.
This was Amazing Defenders, and what was the other deck built?
Wild Survivors, Vanquished Soul, Dinosaur, Nivelles.
Vanquished Soul. I think this is a really good Wild Survivors, or not Wild Survivors. The Vanquished Soul set you were just talking about. Is that's Wild Survivors?
That's
is that right?
That's Wild Survivors. Yep.
Vanquish Soul, Dino Support, and Nouvelles.
Yeah. I think this is the worst.
I mean, Vanquish Soul topped a lot of events, YCSs and everything else.
Yeah.
And Centurion is consistently topping every event. Four or five decks in a top cut. I don't, it's the same rate as Vanquish Soul. I don't see why it should be any lower than Wild Survivor. I just don't see this set being the same level as the Legendary Collection and Soul Burning Volcano.
We can put it in C. I think it's D, but I will compromise with you and put it in C for the sake of ending this episode.
Yeah.
And then
Fire King Archer deck.
Easy money.
It's like, S tier to me.
I think it's an easy S. Yep, I agree. Buy three of playable deck, although your mileage may vary depending on your location. Incredible reprints. Banger structure deck. One of the best we've gotten in a long time.
Top bottom. It's yep. I'm not gonna call it a top in a box, but it is really close. I don't think you absolutely have to have DLR engine stuff to make it playable. I think it is playable either way. But the Fire deck is very, very good.
Droll, Imperm, Judgment.
So there you go, chat.
Dogaran, Giant Trainer. Herald of the Abyss.
Giant Trainer is an amazing reprint.
Yeah. Like Dark Hole.
Yeah.
Tenki.
Meta relevant competitive strategy, at least five good reprints.
Torrential, Diamond Dire Wolf,
Banger.
Hita. Like, just great cards. Yep. Awesome. There you have it.
Okay.
Is that your list?
Age Void, Amazing Ender, Duelist Nexus, and the Trap Trick Structure all in A tier. Are there any of these that we feel like we need to go up to S tier?
I think Agov is the only one you could consider moving, but I think Agov is also very top heavy, even though it has like a lot of cards that are good. It's like all of them are at Secret or Ultra.
That's kind of my issue with it.
Yeah. So I think it can stay in A, but I don't think it can go up to S. I think if we consider like the Fire King Structure deck at like the bottom of S, then I don't think we can say that Agov is better than the Fire King Structure deck. So I agree with keeping it at A. I think it's high A.
I think here's my thing with so many of these sets. And I don't mean like one or two of them. I mean almost every set in here. We've established what is an S tier set. S-tier sets are the sets that actually give a good value proposition for the players.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Sets that make it enjoyable to buy product are S-tier. And the sets that make it enjoyable to buy product are the ones that are fun to open, like the Rarity Collection, or the ones that are affordable, competitive, or constructed. Mm-hmm. I think it's really just that simple, because all the other sets, they just suck to open. Like, that, like moderator here in the chat, Mirren, was saying it the whole time. So many of these sets just suck to open. They are miserable because it's clown gas. It's pure clown gas, all of them. It's literally just every single thing that every one of these products to open is just not fun. Rarity Collection was genuinely fun. Like if I'm ranking these as products, as a consumer, these products sucked. I can put Gate Guardian in G tier and it's funny, but like it wasn't a good set. It had something specifically for me, but guess what? I still didn't buy a single box because there was no value proposition in opening it. I could get all of the individual cards. I got them in a trade combined for like $10. And even then I did it just because the guy already had it and it was easier than valuing them all at the pennies they were valued at. Like legitimately, none of these products are worth opening except for the Rarity Collection if you have money to blow because it's fun. And the Fire King Structure Deck. That's it. I guess you could maybe say Agov because almost every secret you pull has some sort of value. But even then, the set is so top-heavy that it's hard to justify opening sealed product. I guess Trap Tricks, really on the same vein as the Fire King Structure Deck, it was competitive out the box and fun. Like, legitimately, the Trap Tricks structure... Yeah, 7 cards now worth $100+, but how many of those are quarter century secret rares? Almost all of them.
True. I think we have to wrap this one up.
Yep, I think we're done here. I'm going to take a screenshot and put it on Twitter. That way people can freak out on Twitter.
All right. I guess while Sunny is screenshotting and posting to Twitter, I will read out our wonderful patrons.
I already screenshotted it if you want me to read them.
You know what? I'll do it this time.
All right.
I'll do the patron names. So
okay.
On that note, once I sort by active, as always, a huge shout out to Always Second. It's Always Sunny at the Sacred Summit. It's very good.
That is good.
Zyphorus at the One Epilogue. Big Stinky. Ding Dongs. Hostess of the Yang Zing. Gimme Some More. Dragussy. Konami. HZH Cyber. John Leal. Mountain Man. Oatmeal Spaghetti. Owen Alvarado. Pistol Plays Pendulums. Silver Hope. Skyhawk Over the Beatles. True. Understanding and Reading are two different things. Virtually Saviors World. Vsauce. Star Frosty the Snowman. So good. Vsauce. Star Frosting these nuts. Slightly less good, but still good. Aaron Gardner. Alexander Chan. Asami. Ashley Chaps, Atsuyo, Simp of the Silver Castle, Blackwing Silverwind the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Ice is best Copium, Boxwine, come on and get your game on, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, Ice Jade will win a YCS before Sword Soul. I have bad news about that. I am about to Riku Glamour tribute for Costi's Plant Nuts in Your Mouth.
What do you mean you have bad news about that?
Don't worry about it. Level 4 Fire.
Sword Soul hasn't won a YCS.
Little Stinky, but Sword Soul will win before Ice Jade though. Max E-Pack, Old Man Red, Pin Code 143, Sinful Soils, Sunny's Internet Gremlin, and the existence of a Terror Top implies there is also a Joyful Bottom. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. I don't have a card fund for you today, but Pankratops is at 2, so that's nice. Do you have anything else to say to the people, Sunny?
Gate Guardians are still good.
Go in Gate Guardian mode. Speaking of Gate Guardian mode, have a good Gate Guardian night and a great Gate Guardian.
Hey, no episode on Monday or Tuesday. No episode Tuesday. We're taking it off for the new year. Just like, thank you. Sorry that we took off for the last episode, but no episode this coming Tuesday either. We're taking that one off too.
True.
Because we're lazy now. Skip episodes whenever we want. Because I gave up on the schedule.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.